The theme introduction this morning is a true story which took place in America a number of years ago at a church called St. Philip's Church. And I found this on a site called Interrupting the Silence, and it's by Michael Marsh. It's pertinent to the scripture that Tony's just read for us, so listen carefully to the story. So it's about this church, St. Philip's, who were building a prayer garden and a labyrinth. And overlooking it was this massive oak tree. But it had stood there for many, many years and never, ever received any attention. So it was in poor shape. So what they decided to do is get what we would call a tree surgeon in to reshape the tree. And so the church agreed to this, and they called this person on site, and after he'd been there for a short while, so the calls started coming through to the minister. And these were some of the calls that he received. He's ruining our tree. Our tree looks terrible. He's butchered it. You need to get over there and stop him. Flood of calls to say, I don't know what this man's doing, but he's wrecking our tree. So the minister got hold of the chief steward, and they went on site, and in his own words, he said, it was terrible. The two of them looked at the tree, and he said, it was terrible. So this is what the head steward said to the man cutting the tree. It looks like you might have taken off a little too much. Maybe put that a little subtly. Probably looked terrible. I remember Ruth and I lived in a little place called Craven Arms in Shropshire. And there were these beautiful trees which were an avenue into the little town. And then one day they came along and I used the term hacked. They just cut these trees back. It looked ghastly. And today, it looks beautiful. Regrown. But let's get back to this story. Now remember, this is the man, the tree surgeon. He's just been told that he doesn't know what he's doing and he's hacking this tree to pieces. Here's what he says. I wish I had known you didn't want it done right. It would have saved me a lot of time and work. He then turned around, turned back his chainsaw on, and off he went, cutting parts of the tree off. Here's what this minister writes many years later. Today that tree is amazingly beautiful and healthy. It continues to grow and flourish. It has become more fully alive and more fully itself. Listen to these words. It has become more than I could imagine at the time. It is fruitful. Think about that. Just as I'm doing this, reflect on the reading this morning, us being the branches, Jesus being the vine, and God the Father being the vine dresser. And he does cut things off. We sometimes don't like it. We may say, whoa, it doesn't look very good. What is his intention, our loving Father? But let me continue. He concludes by writing this, and these are really, really important words this morning. I'm convinced the tree guy saw, knew, and maybe even loved that tree in a way I didn't. I was looking at what had been cut. He was looking at what would be growing. I focused on what had become of the tree. He was focused on what that tree could become. Wow. Folks, those are powerful, powerful words. If we appropriate that to our lives and our relationship with God, think about that. Sometimes we balk from God pruning us, but he can see great potential in us, far more than we can see. Our God's a good God, and he has a good, pleasing, and perfect plan for every one of our lives. So let's see what this morning's message from God is all about. Question number one. Do you? Do I need reshaping? And I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. Because it's so easy to become complacent and say, yeah, no, everything's fine. You know, I'm getting along well with God. And well, is that true? What is our relationship with God actually like? Well, that cuts to the core of this morning's message. You see, the good news is that we have a vine dresser who's the best vine dresser ever. And he's willing and able to prune and cut us. Why? You heard it in the passage, so we can bear fruit to the glory of God the Father. That's his desire, is to be the vine dresser, as we are the branches attached to Jesus, the true vine. So that's what this message is all about this morning, being attached to the true vine who is Jesus Christ and being open to God the Father's pruning as he shapes us into the people that we ought to be, the ones that he's created us to be. So just for a moment, think about the branch. We are all branches attached to Jesus. We are being fed or looked after in two ways. Internally, we are being fed by the Holy Spirit. That beautiful, loving sap of God flowing into us comes through the Holy Spirit. But we are also being cared for externally by the vine dresser, the gardener. He's watching over us. And he's cutting off bits and pieces so that we can flourish as children of God. And it's important for us to get that picture into our minds of how loving our Father is. It's not only that he gave his only Son to die for us, to rescue us from darkness and to bring us into light, he also tends and cares for us as we're attached to the true vine, Jesus. Verses 1 and 2, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. That's God's purpose for us, is to be fruitful for him. It's all to his glory as he builds his kingdom. And we can be fruitless or fruitful. But that all depends on our relationship with God and how attached we are to the vine, Jesus. If we are not strongly attached, that God's love, that sap is not going to flow into our lives. We are not going to be transformed more into the likeness of Jesus. We will just carry on as we've always been. That's not God's design for us. So the two main areas of focus in this morning's passage are abiding in Christ, his words remain in me, and secondly, to bear fruit. So we're going to look at those very briefly this morning to get a deeper understanding of them. There is so much to teach on this passage. There is a follow-up message in 2 weeks' time. Well, look at the rest of John 15. But we're going to just concentrate on the first 8 verses this morning. So what does abiding in Christ mean? What does that truly mean? Well, it starts with accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Welcoming him into your soul. But it doesn't end there. It's all about an ongoing trust in him. And a relationship that's ongoing and a living relationship, constantly in communication with God, literally walking hand in hand with Jesus. That's God's desire. That's what being attached to the vine is about. Have you ever thought about this? How about Jesus? Think about him for a moment. Have you ever thought of living a life where you eat, drink, and savor Jesus. Think about that. Where you eat, drink, and savor Jesus. Enjoy his constant presence. Let me read to you a scripture. Jesus' words, John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Those are his words. That's what he wants. That's his heart's desire, is that our relationship with him is so strong that we are eating of him, drinking of him, savoring Jesus every day of our lives. An intimate relationship. It is trusting in Jesus, remaining in fellowship with him, and connecting to him so that all that God is for us in him is flowing into us like a sap. What are those things that God's given us in Christ? If you go to the Ephesians, the beginning of Ephesians, all those spiritual treasures. Verses and verses. That's what God says is on offer if you're connected to the vine. You'll experience that life-giving power when you're connected and deeply connected. So let's go right back to our Christian basics. What does that mean? When you're connected to the vine, you are a child of God. Number one. Nothing will ever pluck you from God's hand. That's scriptural. So even though our relationship with Jesus may not be as strong as it should be, we're a little bit flimsy in our connection, God doesn't let us go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. We're his forever. You are loved by God because his only son Jesus died for you. John 3:16. That's the truth. Done. We are saved through the blood of Christ. Children of God. And finally, your purpose is to do God's will. And here's a key one, which many Christians don't understand and don't get. Enjoy him. Yes, God's awesome. We revere him. We bow down and worship. But the scriptures is full of being joyful in the Lord. He calls us to have that kind of relationship with him. Fruit of the Spirit. You may have mentioned this once before. If you go back into the Greek text, the fruit of the Spirit is actually just one word. Love. The rest that come afterwards are all parts of love. What is the very first one mentioned? Joy! Joy! That's how we ought to live our lives. Joyful in the Lord. So let's move along to bearing fruit. Bearing fruit is the natural consequence of being connected to and abiding in the vine. Bear fruit. If you listen to Tony reading a bit earlier, those words appear 6 times in 8 verses. Is it important? Hugely. That's what the passage is all about. We abide in Christ to produce fruit, much fruit that lasts. Because what does the fruit do? It speaks to the world about God's goodness, doesn't it? So God wants us to bear fruit, but we need to look at what bearing fruit actually means. It's a way of being. It's not so much what we do, because what we do comes out of who we are in Christ. I hope that makes sense. So bearing fruit starts with being Christ-like. Then once we are Christ-like, whatever we do is good. Our works come from a good place, a Jesus-centered place, a Jesus-centered heart. But fruit bearing, according to this particular passage, is about being engrafted to Christ so that we are like him, so that he feeds us with those spiritual blessings and gifts that in fact the Holy Spirit gives us. Hence, those nine fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those should be in our lives, and we should be living those day by day. That's the fruit of being engrafted to the vine. Are we engrafted to the vine fully? Are all of us here showing forth those fruit? Perhaps not. Let me read Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in that house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Remember, those are flowing out of your being. And praise your Father in heaven. So that's Jesus saying to us, be connected, because then, by the transforming power of my love, you will be changed and you will bear fruit. That means our lifestyle becomes a Christ-like lifestyle, and the world stands back in amazement and says, who are these people? Why are they doing what they're doing? And they will see the light of Christ shining through us. That's the fruit. Fruit that lasts. We'll pick that up in next message. Now I have a footnote, and this is one for us all to hear. Challenging one. If we live for Christ, we will glow like lights, showing others what Christ is like. We hide our light by being quiet when we should speak, going along with the crowd, denying the light, letting sin dim our light, not explaining our light to others, and ignoring the needs of others. In other words, when we don't show the world that we are Christians, if we don't show the world that God's love is for every person on earth, if we don't serve people in a Christ-like way, how are they going to know about Jesus? And certainly in the years that I've been in ministry, it's not often, but on some occasions people have come to question why certain things have been done. And that's an incredible bridge. The moment somebody comes who's not a believer and they say, why are you doing this? It is a wonderful opportunity to say, that's why I'm doing it. It's not as the world does, but it's as Christ does. You'll be surprised what happens when that dynamic is at work and the Holy Spirit's working in that person's life. It often leads them to ask another question and another, and then it leads to an alpha course and eventually child of God. That's how God works. So let us shine our lights to the glory of the Father. So fruitfulness is about connections to and relationship with God and one another. We need to be connected. We need to understand what it means to be in Christ. And by the way, that term in Christ can be found, believe it or not, 89 times in the Bible. Those two words, in Christ. They are so important. And this is what this passage is all about. We need to be in Christ in a living and loving relationship with him. Talking about Jesus, what's important for us is to understand three things: the person of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and the mission of Jesus. Now, the first one is to understand who Jesus is. What's he done for me? What's he calling me to do? What should my relationship with him be like? Get to know him through the word, through prayer, in fellowship. It's when we discover who Jesus is really and we have this intimate relationship with him that we have this power that flows through us. And what power am I talking about? The power of the Holy Spirit, also referred to as Christ's Spirit, who dwells in us. So when we're well connected to the vine, that Holy Spirit power is flowing through us. To do what? Works for God. Kingdom building. Third one, Jesus' mission. What is his mission for us? To be disciples. To follow Jesus faithfully. To bear fruit that lasts. So that the kingdom is built here on earth. So the person, the power, and the mission of Jesus. We will discover all of those when we're engrafted into the vine and in that intimate relationship with God. So what would a fruitful life mean to you? In fact, what would a fruitful life look like to you and to me? Think about that. What do I look like now? What could I look like? With a bit of pruning here and cutting there. And we can do this prayerfully. We can come before God and say, Lord God, reveal to me those things in my life that are hindering the flow of your love into my life. Reveal them and cut them away. Get rid of them so I become more Christ-like. What about our relationships? Within our families, with our friends, within the church, are those relationships bearing fruit? If not, why not? And we need to look at that seriously and pray about it and say, Lord God, my relationship with certain people is empty. I see them every single day and we have a superficial chat, but it's been like that for a long time. Lord, give me that desire, that passion in my heart to deepen those relationships so that it's your love that flows between us. Remember, this is in marriage, in parenting, in our relationships, all of those things. When Christ is present and the Holy Spirit's working, those relationships are transformed. They become deep, meaningful, loving relationships. And then the obvious things that we need to look at. Lord, am I connected to you in my prayer life? In my reading and studying of the word, in the fellowship? Is that real, Lord God? If it isn't, help me. Holy Spirit, plant in me the desire to pray, the desire to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ, a hunger and thirst for the word. Pray these things. God hears our prayers. He knows our hearts. He will answer those prayers. So basically, the final question is, are you flourishing or dying on the vine? And that sounds really harsh. But you may be sitting here this morning thinking to yourself, actually, this relationship with Jesus just feels very empty. I feel disconnected. Well, this is God speaking to you this morning and to me. And he's saying, come closer. Because when you come close, I come close. And we'll connect well because of the power of my love. So we need to look at those things in our lives where we are bearing fruit. Are there things that you're doing at the moment that are good? And you can see the results are really wonderful in terms of people coming to faith or being excited about God. If that's happening, ask God how you can strengthen that and grow it to his glory. Now, all these things I've been talking to you about, it's really important for me to make one point, and it's a really important one. It's not about making a judgment of good or bad. Please understand that. This is about making a diagnosis of healthy or unhealthy, connected or disconnected. There's a very big difference. This is not being judgmental. This is being honest and saying, Lord God, my journey with you, my relationship with you is not right. What do I do about this? Let him speak into your life and say, those things, they're not evil. They're just not helping you in your walk with me. Leave them alone. These things, however, will bring you closer to me and deepen your relationship. That's what this is about. So let's do this prayerfully and ask God to reveal the truth about our spiritual health and ask him to help us to know what needs to be pruned and what needs to be removed to become fruitful disciples to the glory of God. And I'm going to leave it there because the next message I'm going to bring in 2 weeks' time is going to pick up that theme of being fruitful disciples of Jesus.